All subject matter in the preceding podcast is entirely alleged and not admissible in a court of law. A recklessly minimal effort has been taken to change the names and details of any guilty parties. And just in case you rat bastards get any ideas, the hosts of this podcast are notorious and well-documented liars with no legally admissible credibility. This is Mama C, and you're listening to Notes from the Pen podcast. Welcome to prison, bitch.
And greetings from the prison industrial complex. You're listening to the Notes from the Pen podcast. I am the captain of your ghost ship, Captain Freddy Schnertz. And today, along the boat wake behind me, I have one of our favorite usual suspects. We have a usual suspect that we haven't had on in a while because he's been a bad boy. And his name is Blaze. What's up, Blaze?
What up, though, Captain Freddy? How you doing today?
I'm good, man. It's good to hear your voice again. I'm glad you're back on here.
Yeah, it's good to be out.
So you've been catching tickets and on LOP for, Christ, since November?
For 4 months. Just under 4 months.
Okay, well, you're an overachiever.
Yeah, most definitely. I always, you know, anything worth doing is worth doing right.
Right, and your mama says you're quite a catch.
Yeah, well, my mama did say I was a catch, but she's changed up in her life. I don't know if she'd quite agree with that sentiment anymore.
Yeah, so you've been spending all your time at Chow. You're not allowed in the yard because you've been on an LOP. You're not allowed really on the phones. So you've been doing a bunch of writing.
Right.
And in a similar parallel somewhat to my own mother, who has, all the political... division, all the craziness and all the crazy media that, and sometimes a little bit older generation isn't so great at discerning what is valid media and what's, horse shit. And it's a little rough on them and they don't really know what to do. So you're experiencing this with your mother as well, huh?
Yeah. I mean, like I said, when I was younger, I think we talked about this before, she was super cool. She popped me out when she was young. So when I'm like 5 years old, she's 23. We're listening to NWA doing donuts in a fucking Dodge Aspen. You know what I'm saying? It's just super cool. And then as the years progress, she turned into like this weird person with no critical thinking skills and no abstract thought process, So like, and then lately she's been going in hard. I mean, like, she runs my Cash App.
Okay.
So, like, when people send me money, I have to call her and be like, hey, did you get that? And then, I go and give person their store that they bought. I do a lot of store transfers.
Right.
So now, her Cash App got taken a while back, and I guess they just do this randomly with Cash App because they want to know that the money's legit. So all you got to do is just make a complaint and then show them, hey, I have a job, and they'll turn it right back on. Well, no, that's too much for her. So I got my own Cash App. Her boyfriend has a Cash App. His got shut off. Oh, and now it's like this giant conspiracy. And so she's like, oh, when yours is off, it's done. I don't know what we're doing and this and that. And just being an utter weirdo. She's just not the same person. So, like, just, I don't know. She doesn't really know how life works at all.
I've been hearing about Cash Apps being muted or taken down as almost part of the campaign to like deplatform different right wingers or different even radical leftists. Do you think that has anything to do with it?
I mean, not really. Like, I know a guy over here he's going to remain unnamed. He had a couple $10,000-$20,000 in a Cash App, and it got shut down. They took his money.
Damn.
His daddy dug up like 2 years worth of check stubs and was like, "That's all my money," and they just turned it right back on. So, what doesn't make sense is they'll tell you, oh, you violated Cash App rules number six. But when you go look at rule number six, it's you violated Cash App rules. They don't even tell you. And you can only send or receive money with Cash App. So if that's what Cash App's for and that's the only thing you can do, how did I violate anything? Now you want me to vet people that send me money? You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And the crazy thing is about my mom's boyfriend, he was kind of running his business off that. Now, they didn't end up snatching any money when they shut it off, but, like, if this is the only time you do business, you mean you're going to shut down my store, whatever I might be running out there? No, it's different for me because I sell legal work, legal-minded work, stuff like that, store goods, general advice.
Yeah, and so, you can only use Cash App? You can't go to Venmo or to one of the other ones?
I mean, you know, when in Rome, do as the Romans. Everyone has Cash App. No one has Venmo, so I can't be the only one taken.
Right, because, it'll never work out. Well, if they so if I'm some chick and I'm, you know, it's hard to find a job and I'm a 20-year-old girl and I have, like, I want to send nudes, so I'm like, hey, put your money on my Cash App. And I give her, like, you know, $200, and I want to see some racy nudes and have her send them to me. And she does, but then Cash App is like, well, we're not sure where Freddie got his money, so we're going to shut your Cash App down, 20-year-old pretty girl that's sending nudes. Like, that can happen now?
Yeah. My mama and her boyfriend are straight-laced as hell. Both of theirs is gone. They just snatched it. And on some hate and shit, she's like, oh, it's just a matter of time before they take yours, too. When that's done, I'm not doing nothing no more.
And that really hurts you.
So, yeah. Like, because even when I got out, like, she helped me a little bit, but, like, didn't bring me my car, didn't bring me some things I had her order me, we'll leave unnamed. So, you know, I had her order me 2 gallons of something. She just left them. You know, and then she wasn't very helpful. So now this, and then, like, what was supposed to be set up for me when I got out the last time, like, all hell broke loose just before. So I literally went out there with one Nike sweatsuit, 3 pairs of shoes. And I just happened to meet my dog on some fluke shit when I went to parole board. Or I didn't go to parole board. I went to my parole officer on the wrong day because I skipped the day before because I couldn't get a ride up there. And I just happened to meet one of my mans that I knew in here, and he was like, what's up? He asked me if I had some of my accoutrements that I work with out there, and I'm like, bro, that's all I got. He was like, well, call me if you need a ride or anything. So, like, about 45 minutes later, I'm like, yeah, I need a ride somewhere. And when he found out that I ain't got nothing, he went took me to Macy's. He bought me 5 pairs of Levi's, bought me another pair of shoes, 7 shirts, a bunch of boxers. Gave me an ounce of weed, $50, and bought me a carton of cigarettes and was like, he's like, keep your spurs from jangling and jangling. He's like, I'm going to put you something together where you want to be with so you can earn. Just don't do nothing. Don't do nothing. And he took care of me like a bitch for fucking 2 months. But after that, I'm like, bro, I don't want to just keep taking, calling you for money and cigarettes, bro. I'm like, I need to get out there and do something. And, you know, then I got out there and started selling dope. You know what I'm saying? So. But, like, I was supposed to have my own place and all this, and I didn't have nothing when I got out. So this time, I'm saving up money in here, and, you know, and now she wants to chop me off at the ankles.
Oh,
you have 1 minute remaining.
I got it. You're trying to avoid. Well, yeah, but that's all right. You can call back. You're trying to avoid the same scenario that happened before, where you had to be dependent, that you got lucky enough to run into one of your dogs, and you just. You don't want that, you know, you don't want to have to pray for that same luck and also be dependent on someone.
Right. Right. That's exactly what I want to do. So, like, now when you talk like that, and then, you know, half of it's because we don't have the same agreement with stuff. So, like, some of the shit she does is so transparently tit for tat, like, well, if you don't think the way I think, well, then I'll make it, I'll do this or I'll do that.
Oh, petty, you know? Petty.
Like, super petty. And now, I know, I'm sure you heard of people getting, like, unemployment in prison. It's been all over the news, people getting busted, right? Well, the stimulus is allowed. So, and they put a big notice up here that, yeah, inmates are allowed to get their stimulus. So, I had them get the stimulus.
Thank you for using GT.
What up, though? Now I got you back. Hey, you were discussing, overall, the overarching theme here was that, you know, there's other people affected by the prison industrial complex other than just the inmates, and that it creates, you know, drama and turmoil in between. But you were saying about the stimulus checks.
Well, oh yeah. So I went to file my stimulus check and all that, and I had my mama look into it at first because, you know, a bunch of people were actually getting unemployment, all of that. So I pulled back on the unemployment because it's illegal. I would never have nothing to do with that. But okay. I still got my stimulus, which is legit. So she stopped doing that, and my girl ended up doing that for me and sent it to my auntie, who went to her bank account. My mama at first it's cool, but then she sees the stuff on the news about people are filing fraudulent unemployment and a bunch of other people's names and all that. She blows my aunties up. Oh, yeah, you're going to get busted. Just not another stimulus, this and that. So my auntie is scared to death. She's like, oh, my God, what's going on? But my mama legitimately is, when they put up a notice in the law library here that, hey, if you're an inmate, you can get the stimulus. That's legit.
Yeah,
and then I told my mom to go to the...
Bobby and I discussed that. We discussed it on the show, and we think there must be some sort of kickback that goes to the MDOC for announcing that, because why in the hell else would they want to help you guys out? Simply to sell more store?
Yeah, that's what I think. If we got the money in our account, then we spend it here.
Right.
So it goes on. So she looks it up, and she's like, oh, yeah, you're legit. And the website they gave you is this, like, giant law firm in Chicago that says, yes, inmates are, what's it called? At first, they were saying that we weren't eligible, but that was because it was a misinterpretation or whatever. But, no, inmates are eligible. So after she read all that, and it's been, like, a month, she freaks my auntie out. You know, bless her fucking heart. And I'm like, oh, I don't know what to do. I'm like, my mama literally knows you're allowed to get it. She's like, why didn't she tell me that? I'm like, so when I call my mom, I'm like, why would you do that and have her scared for fucking weeks while I'm on sanction? Well, because, I mean, I seen it on the news. I said, you didn't see anything about stimulus on the news. You seen unemployment. Well, it's the same thing. I'm like, no, it's not the same thing. And she's like, and how would you know? I'm like, they put up a notice in the law library here. Well, they can put up anything they want. I say, the state of Michigan, who runs the law library, who makes sure that laws are followed, does not put up illegal shit to file. It's just now, well, how would I know that? Exactly. So why are you speaking on it? My whole point to that.
Okay. Yeah. These are familiar conversations to me. I've had these conversations with a certain someone.
So it just frustrates. She, like I said, she doesn't have... So, but me and Chino were speaking on, or this what I wrote, it wasn't really written for like, hey, let me come out here and put on the podcast. It's on my only break while I'm on this stuff is at chow time. So it's like more like a proofread. Hey, check this out. What do you think about this? And, you know, he doesn't want to write anything extra, but he'll give me pointers and this and that. And that's pretty much what he kind of wanted me to read.
And he's a writer, so he's a good source to that. And briefly, from what I understand, you caught a little bit, or you gave him a little bit of shit for not being around at Chow enough. You know, you don't get to see him. You don't get any yard time. You don't get to spin. And this motherfucker, you know, dipping out on you.
Yeah, this selfish prick worried about his goddamn prostate.
He's worried about both.
Yeah, he's worried about both. So today's offering was this, which I'm not going to end up sending. And it's,
well, okay, hold on. So let me set the table here. You've had a reading before on the Notes from the Pen podcast,
right. And
I feel like you knocked it out of the park then. And that was, if I remember, that was like a letter to like the commissar or the person that's in charge of, I don't remember, like how many stamps or how much clothes you get. What was it?
It was the pond. I want us to get a pond here. Remember?
Yeah. And you could go fishing, and you could go ice skating, and you could And lady that was in charge of the of handing out the clothes and stuff like that. She's real nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The quartermaster lady. Yeah, she's really nice.
Quartermaster. Yeah.
Yeah, but no, it was to the rec department official. But I said, you know, all the sheets that we turn in, we can, you know. We'll get them out of the quartermaster. You know, she seems nice.
Right.
So, yeah. I don't know how much more of a...
You don't need much more of an intro for this. You wrote a letter to your mama that you're not going to send to her because you've been advised not to.
Right, and by two people that I respect. Well, by a bunch of people, but two people I respect being Bobby and Monty. So I'm not going to, but today's offering... You know, as we're standing in line, I'm reading this to him, and with the shock and awe of people that are ear hustling around me, like, who are you sending that to? So, all right. Here we go. This is just, and plus, this isn't even the whole thing. This is just going to be, like, my running thoughts in the midst of a letter. So it wasn't like that's how the letter started. It was going to be somewhere in there. I was, you know what I'm saying? So, You're just a terrible mother, daughter, and sister, at least from my experience.
Jesus.
You're just not good at it, and you're disloyal to all but whatever your current dick you're sitting on. And I can't ask you to be more than you're capable of, so I got to just live with it and accept it like Lori and Granny do and did. You're just not a good person and selfish parasite and pariah, and won't do the same for others what they do for you. You work strictly off selfishness and emotions, and when someone tells you the truth to something you don't like, you shut them out or off, putting your fingers in your ears, and in essence chanting, I'm not listening, I can't hear you. And then you get some super petty and vindictive shit and say you're not going to do this or that for the person and try and go tit for tat. We won't even speak on you being a total hypocrite because that's a whole nother monster you surely can't tame. But I'll say this, boy, you sure do live by some real double standard type shit that involve a lot of selfishness and being utterly self-serving. And then later on, this is later, even though after I was going to send it, I just wanted to put my thoughts on there. I've noticed throughout her whole life, all her statements start with, well, Jim said this, or Johnny said this, or whoever, which are her boyfriends. So I said, your whole life was Jim said this, or Wes said that, or, well, Johnny did this. Don't you have your own thoughts, common sense, or reasoning? Your critical abstract thinking skills are just non-existent. And added fucking up. I was like, Trump's your order should be killed off. They're an evolutionary dead end, just above lemurs, proto-simians.
Jesus, that's a bit much. That's going down the road of eugenics that I don't know if we're prepared for. But yeah, I think you got solid advice from your auntie and from Bobby. Maybe that's one you just, you know, you couch that one. You just leave that one in the upper dresser drawer.
I just, what it really comes to is, because Bobby actually helped me get these thoughts out. I'm actually worried about her, but I don't know how to go about it anymore. Like, nothing works. Like, when I try to have a heart-to-heart or however, like, I'm not good at all touchy-feely shit, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
But, like, it's like she can't hear nothing. And what would, in her mind, how I feel is, well, he's my son. What would he know about anything? I would know before he does. But truly, her whole life is just a giant clusterfuck. She's joined pyramid schemes. Won't admit it, though. Well, not admit that it's a pyramid scheme. Pyramid schemes are illegal. That's what you heard. Told me. It's called horizontal marketing or some other weird shit. I'm like, whatever. It's an inverted funnel plot is what it is.
What was she hawking? What was her wares?
Oh, my God. At first, it was these fucking pills. That was years ago. Like, these weird and some pills. And then recently, it was some other make-you-feel-good shit.
Some superfood, like, some blueberries from... Some pill with a bunch of concentrate from blueberries from some parts of Alaska unknown.
Yeah. Just something like that. It was health shit both times. A long time ago, it was some pills that Robert Wagner was pushing. You know, he killed Natalie Wood. Like, I'm going to fucking believe him.
Right.
And then fucking now at this time, she's like... And then here's the crazy part is, she chased all my friends away on Facebook, bless her heart, because she's trying, you know what I'm saying? But, like, she chased all my friends away, sweating them to try to join this fucking funnel plot.
Oh, right.
You know what I'm saying? And then she gets super mad when I call it a pyramid scheme. And she's like, no, it's called this, and pyramid schemes are illegal. Yeah, but if it's the same setup, whatever. You know what I'm saying? It's like bath salts are. Yeah, okay, bath salts are fucking... not sold for human consumption, but, you know, and it's not illegal, but come on, it's the same thing. Come on, because you fucking found out a loophole to get around some kind of white-collar crime and push your fucking shabby products off on people.
Right, it's not called a pyramid scheme, so clearly it can't be. Duh, Blake.
Right. Yeah, that's the thing. You know what I'm saying? So
you said you also, we have a lot of fun with this whole QAnon occurrence on the program. Did Bobby mention, I think he said something to me that you were a little upset that she was starting to be part of the queue.
It seems like it. I don't even reach those subjects anymore because then she'll like try to lay out her side of the, you know, like the day that Trump lost the election, I posed a question that turned into a giant fireball that I never wanted. I was like, damn, you know, that's pretty crazy. Because I thought, like, in my mind, she was still normal. Like, I can't believe they're saying that Biden stole the election. But she was like, yeah, he did. And I've seen all these videos, and I'm watching this and that and this. And, like, all right, well, you know, they'll if that's what you're saying, I can't tell you that you haven't watched that.
Are you, since you're on the inside, are you familiar with the lawyers Lynn Wood and Sidney Powell?
Why do I know Sidney Powell's name? But I'm not familiar with their work.
Both of them are lawyers that used to be affiliated with the Trump campaign, and then they kind of, on their own, were no longer a part of the Trump team, but really pushed very hard to stop the steal. And they're the ones that got together and filed all the injunctions or the motions in Arizona, Michigan, Georgia, you know, all the, like, the 60 lawsuits or whatever. You probably saw Sidney Powell on CNN, where I think she was in Michigan, and she was very combative to the judge and, like, being, like, just a whacker, just shot out of a cannon. And this is, like, the stuff my mom reads, and she's like, oh, no, Jeremy, oh, no, those are pa-pa-pa-pa-pa-pa-pa-pa.
I didn't see that, but, like, I've read the case law myself. You know what I'm saying? It's just common sense. Like, me and Bobby talk about this all the time. I'm not going to say there wasn't some fraudulent going on. There's probably 20,000, 30,000 votes both ways, you know. But, Mike, we're talking about microscopic amounts. So, yeah, those videos you watch, yeah, maybe it was one person. You know what I'm saying? But I've read the case law, and it was just gibberish. I can file anything I want. It's so hard. Anyways, but what I was saying was, me and Bobby have talked about the case that if Trump stole the election, then how come all the other Republicans pretty much won? You know, just everyone versus Trump. It common sense. Yeah, then you can't walk. It's upsetting that you can't, you know, A goes to B, goes to C, but no, not with these people. A goes to, you know, an Egyptian fucking hieroglyph for water. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, no, I know exactly what you're saying. It gets batty real quick.
And then, like I said, I'm sad because it's my mama, and then, like, I'm sitting here with, like, mouth slightly agape, you know, palm smacking on my head. I'm like, you can't be serious. Like, this is sad.
Yeah, but at the same time, you rely on her for certain things, and now all these different things that are occurring are making her less apt to be able to help you out. And not that, I mean, normally you would just help yourself out, but clearly you're locked up, so you need somebody on the outside doing something.
Yeah, like, normally, see, my auntie has no problem doing it, but she can't just pick up at my, you know, I might call my mom 10 times in 20 minutes. Because I might go, here, oh, I just got this, ready this transfer, let me call, you know, yeah, $50 came. All right, well, let me go see this, or, you know, hey, a dude said he sent this. So, you know, Monty can't do that, you know what I'm saying?
Right. So. Yeah, this is, that's difficult, man. It looks like...
You have 1 minute remaining.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I mean, it was great having you on the program, Blaze, even though it sounds like you're not in the greatest spot, but hopefully you can get off LOP sometime this month and come back on the program. You said you're going to be off LOP here in a couple days. Well, you got to go back on for 3 or 4 days or a week or something. Then you're going to be off for a couple days, and you got to be heard on a couple others. So maybe in that little window that you're back out and you're allowed to spin and go out to yard and stuff, hit me back. We'll coordinate with Bobby.
All right, definitely. And to all the viewers out there and everyone, you know, keep it real, I guess. Be easy. And I'll try to call here on my little window.
Yeah.
All right, Captain Freddy?
Yeah, definitely do. And tell Bobby to call me back, and we'll discuss what's going on.
All right.
All right, dog. Take care.
Yeah, you too.
All right, man.
All right.
Yeah.
Hey!
What up, doe?
What up?
I miss that fucker, man. You could be accused of talking pretty fast. You ain't got shit on him.
He's
speaking Spanish. The rhythm he keeps in English.
Him and the 23-year-old. Some of our overseas listeners might have to slow that one down. You know, but I miss him too. And you know, I realized last night was his first day like fully off, right? So I only catch him during his bugged out moments during chow, right? And in those moments, he's trying to pack 24 hours of ideas, thoughts, comments into what turns out to be 15 to 20 minutes of chow. So he's got a whole syllabus for me.
Oh, Jesus.
And he literally will read them off. He's like, oh, okay. Fight Club was on last night. Do you remember this scene? Blah, blah, blah. He's like, he goes, he's bugged out. He's been spent most of his life in prison. You know what I mean? And that shit gets a bit heavy. That shit he read you today wasn't anything special. It just happens to be he's off today. And I'm like, oh, yeah, yeah. Let's just give the viewers an insight into what old Bobby C goes through during chow every time. So picture me with my hands in my pockets, standing in a chow line, listening to this, reading it just how he fucking read it to you, right? And so that's you, and I've been getting kind of not sick of him, but it's a lot when that's like your only interactions with him through the day. You know, he's so worked up and pissed off, you know?
And he has nothing but time to stew on it because he can't go out in the yard and get any of his any of his
expression. So last night, we got to come and spin. Now, I got mad at him because we spun three laps and he stopped four times. He's the goddamn mayor of Shitville. Which,
talking to
Lane. When he says it later, he's like, yeah, exactly. He's like, I'm the mayor. I'm like, hey, you're pretty proud of being a mayor of fucking Shitville. Like, I wouldn't be proud of that. Anyways, by the fourth time, he stopped talking to him and I just go inside. I'm like, I'm done. I'm going to be part of this. I stopped three times. That's it. So I came out. I was in for the night last night and I hear someone yelling my name. I look down, four stories down. He's standing out there with his arms up. What's good? And I'm like, oh, I'm like in my sweats and shit. I'm not going outside. I'm like, what? Well, I'm done with everything now. And I've already made up my mind. I'm not going out. But I see a stupid face down there like a puppy dog. I'm like, ah, goddamn it. All right. Come out, spin with them, and remember why I fell in love with the girl. You know what I mean? I love them. It's just those little moments when everything's compacted in. It's fucking a bit much. And he's the smartest guy I know that has the least wisdom for being smart. Smart, but he has no wisdom. I told him that yesterday. Like, you're the smartest guy that I know that has absolutely no wisdom. You know what I mean? He's mad about it. And rightfully, I mean, he's fucking been through a lot, you know? And I have to tell him in ways, like, one of our homeboys behind Future's like, if you read that to your mom, I'm never calling her for you again. Now, I don't say anything because I know he's just going to push back against that. So I tell him later, I go, what's your goal with this? And he's like, well, it's to like open her eyes. I said, well, if it's to open her eyes, you already know that's not going to do anything. People shut down when you do. And then he was like, yeah, you're right. Well, I gave him another way and couched it in the fact, like, if you really want to hurt her feelings, which wasn't my goal. I'm like, you say it real compassionately, like you miss the way she used to be and you're worried about her. And then he's like, yeah, you're right. And I'm like, which was me just getting him to admit that your goal is not to change her. Your goal is to be mean to her. And he finally did. And I was like, so then I'm not going to take whatever. I'm not a saint, but I tell him, like, reel it in a bit. Anyways, that's just a run of the mill thing. That wasn't something he had prepared, or I didn't say, go get the one from the other day that was real. Heck, this just happened an hour ago. I just was standing in line.
Hearing this shit. But this isn't his top shelf product. This is just everyday walking around product.
This is today.
Yeah.
This is what I had to listen to today. And it's here how it starts out. I forgot how it started out, and when he got to reading, I was standing next to him. I started laughing. It's just, you're a terrible mom. I'm like, all right. Okay.
You're a pariah.
All right. Yeah, that's my guy, though. You know, to an extent, you accept these broken people for who they are, because I'm a broken person. You know? I put myself back together, but...
Probably better than the other... Probably better. You put yourself back together a little bit better than probably other people on this podcast. And I am looking in the mirror when I say
that. Yeah, prison's taught me, like, if you fuck with someone, you don't have to support everything they do, but you take them as they come. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and that's a good way of looking at it. Were you standing there next to the phone when he was reading?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So you did get to hear the whole conversation.
Yeah, for context and everything. I asked him, I said, listen, sometimes when you guys stand around, it adds another layer, and I think it kind of knocks me off my square. He's like, no, I don't give a shit. So I just stood there the whole time. I wasn't intently listening the whole time, but just so I'd have a little context, you didn't have to explain everything to me if we were going to do a little post show or a post interview.
Yeah, well, that's what I wanted to do, because we do plenty of, or it seems like lately we've had Marshall and Jen and not a whole lot of Bobby on here. And, yeah, I didn't want to make it the entire Blaze show.
Well, I don't have this as long as it serves our little format of, you know, there was a big part of them were sitting there because we had to wait for you to go to the beer store and shower and do all this stuff. And I said, what's up? You're going to be on today? He's like, yeah, I'll be on. I said, well, we want you to read the thing. And he's like, well, I don't want to. I just talked to my auntie and she said, don't. And then I'm not going to sit there. And I said, all right, well, and I told him the Stanhope sucking his own dick story. And I last night. Right. And then I stole your line of like legend, you know?
Right.
And so we're sitting there and I go, yeah, well, I can't remember what I said. We're sitting on a bench with our feet up against the, like real close to the fence, with our feet against the fence because it's sunny out, just kicking it, waiting to be able to call you. And I go, yeah, well, this show ain't for the tame of heart. I was like, you know, this is why only the real ones try to suck their dicks on stage. And he's sitting there and he's like, we say a couple other things in a few minutes. And he goes, you know what? Fuck it, warts and all.
Like, no. All right. That a boy.
This ain't, be scared if you want to, but do it somewhere else. You know what I mean? But I did have to give him a talk and say, hey, don't rant on the institution too hard right now. Like, don't be, because you've been going through some shit, I know, but let's not draw that heat right now. So he's like, all right. And,
yeah,
good to hear from.
He gave us a dusting of that, but it was enough to, you know, get the point and understand the frustration and also understand the, I mean, it's also got to be frustrating for those on the outside for him, just like it is for, I'm sure, every inmate.
Oh,
you know,
God.
There's got to be times where even Mama C is like, okay, I'll do this, but I really wanted to go to the store, or I really wanted to, you know, whatever it is, you know, and she's a saint.
Well, he likes to take, well, you're absolutely right. And I'm fully aware of that. Now I tell him all the time, because you know one of my mottos in life is like, stop assuming you got shit coming. You know what I mean? Life doesn't owe you shit. You think you do, but that's why you're let down a lot of times and you're head over heels with shit. You know,
right, appreciate
get
what
out over your skis to do things. Yeah, and don't expect. Nothing's guaranteed, nothing's owed to you. And he takes a quote from Guess Who's Coming to Dinner, the old Sidney Poitier movie back in the day, to where I guess Sidney Poitier says something like, you're wrong. The moment you had me, you owe me everything you can do for me for the rest of my life. And I was like, that's bullshit. She owes you maximum until you're 18. And I think he likes the idea that he has that quote in his back pocket and it's become his philosophy more than the other way around. You know, ironically, a lot of the shit he's saying to his mom in there applies to him. You know, everything you do is self-serving and you're selfish. Like, in the future, I listen to him read it, and we're, like, giving each other side eyes, like, is this therapy session? Is he reading it?
Is this classic projection? What's going on here?
Yeah, he's just smarter than she is. But
And he wants to berate her.
Yeah. Just can't wait. And he's decent at it. Now, what he didn't tell you is he comes out, and he kind of says, he goes, he doesn't really add stuff. He'll come out and give me full letters, front and back pages, and go, I need, like, help me with this. Like, take some, like, switch. And I'm like, fuck you. Like, he can get most people. I'll just tell him no. I'm like, absolutely not. He's like, come on, you're a writer. Help. And so he was filing this legal thing, and I helped him with ways to phrase stuff. But shit like that, he knows better now. Like, he'll fold it up and stand there and look at me and, like, kind of, like, waiting for me to go, do you want me to take notes? And switch would be like, yeah, could you? But I don't do that. You know what I mean? I'll go, I'm not, no. Like, we can't fit this into, because he has tons of people work for him. The Nine Finger Mexican was just doing shit for him all day, every day. I'm like, you got this relationship mistaken. That's not me. You find someone else to do this shit. I got other stuff going on. I said, you want to ride my coattails? I got to stitch together a couple coattails worthy of riding. And they don't involve running goddamn errands for you. So he's all, you know, he's pretty much given up on that. And you kind of hear in his voice, he's like, yeah, he doesn't write anymore, but he'll give me advice. Like our happy medium. Like, go ahead, let's hear it. I wouldn't do this, I would do that, whatever. What's your problem? Why are you being such a prick? It's usually how it all comes. And
give him credit. He didn't pour me when he said it. He was more like, yeah, oh yeah, but Chino don't do that. He you know, he just gives me some advice.
Yeah, no.
And I'm thinking, the viewers are thinking too, well, it's probably because you asked him to do it too many times and you're a pain in the ass.
Yeah. Well, see, I don't even let him get down like that. Like, I just, one of the things people haven't learned in prison and in life in general, for sure, but prison really helps you with this. You know, like, people ask you to do shit and it's hard to say no. And you're like,
sure.
Oh, all right. You're pretty good at saying no. I've become a fucking master at it, where I don't even have any, like, guilt about it, where I just, it's math to me. Like, no, no. Because the other option is me being secretly resentful for you. Like, I'm like, oh, right, I'll do it, and then I'm secretly resentful towards you, or I do it halfway. And so I don't get the response you would be worried of that usually guilts people into doing it. Like, well, you're a prude. I might get that sometimes, but they can't. No one ever is mad at me because I just tell them how it is. I'm like, nah, not going to do that. That's not me. Find someone else. Because prison, I mean, there you'd be doing shit, the nine fingers, doing shit all day long for people because he doesn't see. He'll be mad about it, but he'll go fucking do it. And I just, I used to be kind of like that, but I reached a point where I'm like, yeah, no, I'm not going to do that. Nope. Yeah, hey, can I borrow it? Nope.
Toro craves acceptance. So if you were to task him with something, he's, you know, going to do it whether he wants to do it or not. And then he might even be mad and, like you said, resentful at the end. That's a terrible way to be. But, you know, I can understand, knowing Toro's background, I can, you know, I get it.
There's a part of him that also kind of likes it. This is his thing. He goes, I'm Mexican. I'm not good at thinking for myself, but if you tell me what to do, I'll go do it. That's like his thing.
Jesus.
And, hey, look, I'm not saying it. That's what the guy said. He's Mexican. You know. but he's got a confliction with it because people will abuse it with him. The point is that you got to just know what your time's worth and where to draw the line. And I'm always prepared for people to be like, here, Gino's a prick, which is fine. Go ahead. That's all good. But it turns out not to be that way as much when you're just up front with people. Like, no, I'm not going to do that. I can do this if you want me to. I'll do this, but I'm not. Nope. And so Blaze would be trying to find people. Oh, when the nine finger left, it's panic mode. He's like, who doesn't even ask me? He already knows. You know what I mean? He'll complain about it in front of me and, like, kind of throwing that line out there, but completely not expecting me to bite. You know what I mean? He's just practicing his cast. He's not really expecting to real thing him. but last night, just being able to spin with him reminded me of why we fell in love in the first place. You know, he's a contemporary who I can talk to about weird, funny shit and weird references. He's a social butterfly, which I don't like, but I love that he is, but I don't like when he's flapping his goddamn wings around all the time.
When you're around, it's fine when you're not there.
Yeah, go do whatever, but when Dad's around, you just sit on my shoulder. Stop flapping around, goddamn it.
How much more time does he have left? Is he on, like, the you and Joe schedule?
He's earlier. He's trying to get back, and now he's, like, trying to be a positive little fucking puppy by saying, well, I caught all these substance abuse and shit, so that's probably good because I'll probably get flopped a couple times.
You have 1 minute remaining.
And get out closer to when you get out, because if I get out too early, I'll probably come back in here before you get out. Memory's got one more bit.
Right. He's not retired yet.
Idiot.
Yeah, well, he mentioned, I was out selling dope and blah, blah, blah. And I'm thinking to myself, oh, he doesn't know that that's a bad idea.
Yeah, he's resigned to the fact, you know, of what he's going to do. I mean, I'll give him that. He's not lying to himself like most of these guys, which is why I don't try to convince him otherwise, because he at least is aware and he's made his decision. What's up? Do I need to hit you back or we can play in the outro?
No, hit me back and we'll play the outro and we'll be done with it.
All right. Give me 5.
You got it. What is this, Blaze?
I've just been eating just spoonfuls of mozzarella cheese. You know, that's what's been going down the last couple of days. Real solid.
Weird flex, but I remember when you got hit in the hand with the queso.
Yeah. No refrigeration. It's a real...
Oh, right. A little dicey.
Time's a real factor. Yeah. I live a reckless life, you know. I've left some things behind, not everything.
Like provolone, for instance.
Mozzarella. So, yeah, I'm fine with the usuals being on there. You know what I mean? And because you're the through line. You know?
Oh, I dig it. And I like Blaze, so it's easy for me. I did get to talk to Nick and Joey fuck around yesterday.
Oh, good. How are you doing? All right?
Yeah, seemed to be. Joe calls me. We basically talk football and just regular shoot the shit stuff. But he calls me, and instead, you know, I'm like, hey, what's up, Herps, Herps, Herps? He goes, hammered. Now, meanwhile, I'm not thick-tongued at all, so it's, I haven't even started drinking, and I'm like, okay, I got you.
Yeah. Well, I've been wanting to do that, too. Hammered. Just get on there, let you know, and then get to shooting off the mouth. I mean, it's so much better where he's at, man. It's so much better where he's at. You can get lit the fuck up, and no one's batting on. You know, as long as you're not causing a problem, you're good.
Right. He said there is getting ready to be a problem with one of the hooks in there. The guy's, he says he's got Napoleon syndrome and shakes him down every time he sees him and just is a real asshole. And Joe... You could tell Joey fuck around was telling me so he could come off of, you know, come out of his mouth to like build his own confidence. Like, fuck that guy. I'm like, he's going to tase you, bro. What are you going to do? Well, I'm going to tell him fuck that shit, you know? And I'm like, you're going to get LOP. He's like, and it'll be worth it. I'm like, okay. All right. I can't talk
to you. Forever love that kid. And Necklace doing good?
Yeah, I only got to talk to him for briefly, and then he was supposed to call me back and never did, so I didn't get any, you know, I wanted to record with him, but, he didn't call back.
You know, I was thinking about talking to Big Rob, having you setting something up where you can talk to Big Rob. Now that's going to be a Patreon episode, depending on that. I need to go back and forth with him a little bit. H-Man
Rob. Oh, yeah, I'm aware. Yeah, that's I'm all for it. I bet he's got some awesome, he's a lifer, so he's got some awesome tales.
You got to have him. I wonder if he'll tell you this. There's a story of him getting called out of this all list. Well, no one knows his name. Comes out, and there's three people of a fraternity. He's a big motherfucker. He's like 6'7".
Whoa,
like,
I didn't know that.
Though, not like, he's a big fucking dude. And tatted, like every inch of him's tatted except his neck and face, but everything else completely cut. And he ends up coming out and KO'ing the first guy, takes a knife. The other one instantly runs, and then he gets another one on, and he just stabs the fuck out of him until this whole thing happens where, the gun tower sees him and shit, but he fucking dips off, gets back to his cell and can flush his fucking shirt and hide the thing and all this shit and puncture the kid's lungs. And they were trying to kill him, though, you know what I mean? But he's a big fucker. And
they sent three of them over to get his ass.
Sent three of them. KO'd the first one, flatlined. The other one took off. He took the knife from the one he knocked out and with like full mouth on him, just poking holes in him. Where later, when he was in the hole, the CO in the gun tower was like, found him and was like, I ain't never seen no shit like that in my whole fucking prison career. He's like, holy fuck. But they never found a knife or anything. Right? So he's good on that. As far as like, and they don't charge people doing natural life sentences with new cases like that. They just are like, they're already doing life without charging. You know what I mean?
And yeah, so, this dude's so interesting. This is a dude that had a half a pound of smoke in his cell, allegedly.
Yeah. And
well, nobody knew how it got there. They lost chain of custody.
And then he sees the guy he poked holes of that he had to sit in the hospital for a while. Sees him at another joint, right? The dude immediately locks up. You know what I'm saying? But his fraternity brothers had heard, like, he was there long enough to tell them, but he sees, because he had already been there, and then he saw him, Rob, and he locked up. He's like, I'm gone. And so they had already known about it, you know, it must have been before he actually took the trip. And they come to him, they're like, listen, man, they should have never done that. Basically, we don't want no smoke. We're good with you. He's like, all right, cool. That's like when you talk to him, he doesn't talk tough or anything. He's like, all right, that's fine. Like real, like pro, like how you would expect a white person to talk. You know, he's not like, or even like, hey, what's, he's just like, okay. Like it's even scarier that he's like so calm always. Oh, okay.
Have you tried cheesecake?
Listen, here's another one real quick. He gets to Kinross the first time. This is, you know, he'd only been down like 10 years and he made it down to level 2 and it's cube setting. Now this is where we were at, but this is the first time and he's calmed down since then. So he gets there, he goes, I'm not staying in the cube setting. So, and I know this happened because the COs had talked about it. This is like 6 years earlier. He gets there and goes, I'm not, because you have to wait in the visiting room before they have a spot for you and then they take the shackles off and then you go to wherever you're going. There's like 6 other guys in there. And he goes, hey, if you guys want to get out now because I'm about to barricade this door shut because I ain't fucking leaving. I ain't blocking here. And they're like, what? So some left and then some stayed. So he drags over tables and shit and barricades the fucking himself in there for 3 days. 3 days? For 3 fucking days where they're like sliding food in. So the other people can eat shit he can eat. And he's like, he just stays up until they're like, you're going to have to come out. And he's like, I'm not coming out. Come out if I'm going somewhere else, which he obviously is after this. So he goes to the hole and then he's in level 5, but it worked.
Oh, they put him in. He's been a Supermax?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he's done level 5. I know he went to laydown. He might have went to the hole, which is worse than level 5. And then they popped him out somewhere else. But yeah, was in there for like, I believe you talked to him, I'm sure he'll tell you, 3 days. And then when he came back, they're like, we're not going to have a problem, right? He's like, no, we're good. Yeah, damn. Legend.
Yeah, this dude. Yeah, I got to get him on here.
Now, me and him also, he's paying for his own fucking college shit. He wants to get his master's left. I think he's working on his bachelor's now. All correspondence, pays for everything himself. From a good family out west, out in Kelly, but me and him talking about, you know, we read the same books together, Steven Pinker, Siddhartha by Hermann Hesse, and then we talk about it on some real intellectual shit is where we bond. And gardens next to each other, you know, and him and Joe don't like each other. Well, it's mainly Big Rob don't like Joe because he considers Joe a dopey. You know what I mean?
Yeah, well, Joe is. And Rob don't fuck with that. And I get that.
Yeah. So I'm in the middle because I love both of them. You know what I mean? But he's a character.
Joey fuck around is a risk for someone like Rob.
Yeah.
So he don't fuck with them. That makes sense. Hey, but before we do the outro, it looks like you got about 5 more minutes. You got time for one listener question from AB?
Let's go. Always do.
What does count time look like? If someone's off in the bathroom or something and doesn't get back in time, what happens? How often do they do count time per day?
Okay, so if you're somewhere where your bathroom isn't in your cell, which is like how a cube setting is, you get a major out of place, class 2 ticket. You can catch a major out of place just for not being on your bunk during count time. But count time goes like this. They have some through the middle of the night. But you wake up, you go to yard. Now, it's a slightly different at each joint, but the amount of count times are, I believe, the same. Yeah, they were the same in level 4. So around 10:30, from around 9:30 to 11. So I'll just give you this time, and they might vary within an hour. So ours here is 10:45. So we come out. They open day room and shit up at, like, base or whatever at 8, so you can go run around, make your calls. You know, I call you in the morning a lot of times.
Yeah.
And then it's count time, 10:45. You go lock down. They count you. You have to stay in your cell until chow time, and then they call you for chow. And then when you come back, you can be out. And then there's count time at 3:45. Next count time, you sit in there and come back out around 5 after dinner. And then the last one is 8:45. And then they'll do count sometimes. Like, they'll do count through the middle of the night. But they just do rounds constantly in the middle of the night anyway, so you can't tell. So usually they'll do, at other joints, they'll turn your little emergency or security light on in your cell. And so it'll be 2 or 3 times during the night. And that's basically your day is broken up. And it kind of makes your days go by fast because you come out here, you kick it for an hour or two, and you're like, fuck, count time. And you got to go back and write or kick Bobos with the neighbor kid, all that shit. So, yeah.
All right. Well, she also has one follow-up. She wants to know, in the past, she's heard these emergency count, these, quote, emergency count sirens. What's the reason for that? What's going on with those?
Basically, like, drills. Like, they're running through drills. Like, they want to make sure that when there's an emergency count, they can lock everyone down, make sure the system works, figure out how long it takes to get the count. They're kind of running themselves through a drill. You know what I mean? Now, there are some, when they blow, will say, like, well, man, I'll make them blow this bitch, which means, like, I'm going to be so violent with you. Like, I'm going to fuck you up so bad. Like, when Big Rob was doing those guys like that, that's, like, when they'll, or especially if there's gang, shit, they'll blow the emergency and, like, okay, everyone's on lockdown when shit's really going down. You know what I mean?
Yeah, they got a whole unit is going crazy, or there's some serious, and everybody's got to be on lockdown so they can take care of that.
Yeah. Now, they usually do emergencies once a month, but a lot of joints don't. They do them, like, once every couple months. Here, they do them all the fucking time, which it's a level one. It's like, no one's trying to. Everyone's on the verge of going home. But they do it, and it's another little way to, I don't know. It's like, we just look at it like, God damn it. So the 2 hours we had, now we've got 30 minutes. And now, and it takes a while because no one, the kitchen workers and shit can't go outside, can't leave until emergency count's cleared. So everything's backed up for that day. Child's extra late, yards, you know what I mean? The regular count times don't get pushed back, so you just get less of everything. So that's why it's like a bummer when you're like, fuck. All right, God damn it, today's going to suck.
It's like they're pulling a fire drill in elementary school
yep.
while you're at recess. You're like, come on, why now? We got to do this now?
We actually have fire drills, and this is the joint that does more fire drills than I've ever had. And but the last spot where Joey's at, they'll do 5 in the morning, but they'll tell you the day before. They're like, they'll write it on like one of the whiteboards. Like, we have a fire alarm, 5:30 a.m. You're like, God damn, why? Fucking 5:30, and then everyone's got to come outside, right? And you're always mad at them because you can't go back in until everyone comes out and they mark how long it took. So, like, there's always some prick at the end. You're like, motherfucker, what are you? And then you're like, okay, that's the last guy. And then we don't go in. We're like, there's still, what? And then another idiot. You're like, what? So someone, we're throwing him a fucking soap party. We're going to fuck wail on him later.
Oh, because he's causing
They do it here when they're. Yeah, because we're standing outside in fucking negative 19 degrees.
You have 1 minute remaining.
In the Upper Peninsula, because you can't figure out that we got a fire alarm.
That you were warned about. That you were told.
We were warned about, you old bastard. Let's go. Yeah.
All right, well, I don't know
if... Here they do them during lunchtime, so it's not so bad.
Are you ready for a little bit of an outro?
Get the fuck on.
To learn more about Bobby and prison reform, go to notesfromthepen.com. This has been another Notes from the Pen production.
And we are gone.
We gone.